Oh, sisters, it's just us. I love it. I love it. And I have my watch keep me on time. It's wonderful. Ladies, I love it when we get this chance to be together and it's just us. This is my favorite midweek every single month. I look forward to it each and every single time. And I'm so grateful to the leadership and to Sarah to allow me and give me this opportunity to share my heart with you. And speaking of me, something I noticed about myself is that I'll start things and then I won't finish them. For example, when I was an undergrad, I was in Michaels and I saw this stuff for cross-stitching. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a craft, okay? And so I was like, oh, that looks good. I can make a butterfly. I can do this. I like it. And so rather than getting one project, I bought materials for six. And I was like really excited. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I went home and I finished the first project right away. And then I started the second project, and I finished it, not so much right away, but pretty quickly. And then I started the third, and then I stopped. And then weeks went by, and then months went by, and then years went by. And I never got back to that project. Even right now, that half-finished project and the ones I never even started are sitting in my office collecting dust. I don't know about you, but that's my tendency. That's just how I am. And something else that I notice is that tendency can seep into my relationship with God. I can want to start something and I want to learn something new and grow closer to him. And then after a while, I seep back into my usual routine. You know, our tendencies can just seep into our relationship with God. And it doesn't matter what my tendency is, I must continue to grow in righteousness and grow in God. And it doesn't matter what your tendency is, what your pattern is, what you've discovered about yourself. You need to grow and continue to grow in God and continue to grow in righteousness. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. My title is, We're Not Done Yet. So in order for us to know how we have to grow in righteousness and get closer to God, we need to know where we are spiritually, right? So my first point is, where am I? Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. To know where we are, we got to go to the source. And the Bible is the source, so it's very easy. So 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life in our knowledge, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Here's a spiritual GPS for us. And the good thing is that it's not faulty. Have you ever dealt with a faulty GPS? It is so frustrating. I have. My GPS has sent me to the wrong house, to the wrong street. One time it sent me to the wrong side of town. Do you know the frustration I'm talking about? But we don't have to worry about that with God's word. It's not faulty. His GPS is always right. And he says that his divine nature has given us everything we need to get close to him. In fact, he himself says that we need to add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness or mutual affection, and love. We are promised that if we possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of God. Holiness is ongoing, sisters. Sometimes we think we've arrived in certain qualities, but the truth is we've never arrived. An effective and productive disciple truly never arrives. So where are you? Do you have great faith or is your faith waning? How are you doing with being good to your family, to your neighbors, to the people in traffic that slow you down? How's your perseverance? How's your love? Are you loving more and more? Or are you not loving that sister or that brother or even that coworker that treats you so badly? Which area or areas need your every effort? You know, for almost the last 2 years that I've been here, the major areas for me have been self-control, perseverance, and godliness. Before I got here, I thought I was doing just fine. You know, after all, I was doing much better than I used to be, and I was astronomically better than before I was a Christian. So I'm thinking I'm doing great. But I couldn't see that I was actually drifting back into my old pre-Christian ways. I was abused when I was growing up. And I had so much anger in my heart about that. I made terrible, terrible choices. And then I felt justified in my choices. I resented God, and I felt justified in resenting him. And on top of all that, I still had other sin. I would give in to my emotion and let my emotion lead me instead of the scriptures. I would avoid conflict. I would not be open and honest about what's really going on inside and what I'm really feeling. And all the while, I'm thinking I'm doing really well. I'm doing really great. I'm doing pretty good. And, you know, I only got a couple things in my character and maybe one or two interrelational things to work on. I was totally deceived. But thanks be to God that I have a discipling partner who has helped me to face my pain and to heal. Sarah helped me to face my abuse and really deal with it. It no longer controls me. She helped to set me free from all the pain that comes along with it. She helped me to heal, fully and completely heal. Now abuse doesn't own me. It doesn't define me. I'm not an abuse victim or an abuse survivor. I know now that I'm a daughter of God. It's so different. It's so refreshing. But Sarah also helped me with my sin. She showed me how I lacked self-control over my emotions and how I was refusing to persevere in difficult times in the ministry and how unspiritual my thinking was. She helped me to see, literally see my sin. She helped me to acknowledge where I was so I could get back on track. Who is helping you see where you are? Who is bringing you to that point of acknowledgement? My second point. Get back or keep going on that track. It's not enough to have those people that help us see. Sometimes we just don't get it. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to look at an example of someone who needed help getting back on track and who needed help to see. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to pick up right after David commits sin with Bathsheba. And then he tries to cover it up by bringing her husband Uriah home. When that doesn't work, he sends Uriah to the front lines. And Uriah dies in battle. And then months go by, and the baby's born. And David's thinking everything's fine. He couldn't see. And so we're going to pick up there. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 12, 2 Samuel. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the man, to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said, to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given you more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Let's stop there. Talk about a spiritual jolt, huh? David could not see his sin. He needed Nathan to tell him the truth and to speak the word of God to him. And I was the same way. I couldn't see my sin. I needed Sarah to speak truth to me and to speak the word of God to me. And she hasn't been the only one. There have been quite a few. Barbara, Roxanne, Marisabel, Tammy, Donna Lynn, Andrea Parks, Lisa Washington, Shakara, Dina, KP, Teresa, Bianca, Heather, and even one of our youngest sisters, Marissa, have spoken truth to me in order to help me grow in my relationship with God. Who speaks truth to you, sisters? Who speaks the word of God to you? Are you receptive when they do? Or do you pull away from that person? God never meant for us to walk this life alone. We need each other to help us see truth and to help us see God. It doesn't matter how old we are or how long we've been walking with God, we still need to grow in righteousness. And that requires Nathans in our lives to speak the whole truth to us. And it's not enough to be told truth. We got to go back to God in prayer, in fasting, and in worship. And that's exactly what David did. It's after this situation that we get the 51st Psalm. And this is what he says. Listen to what he says. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That was verses 7 through 12 of Psalm 51. David begged for cleansing. He didn't just ask for it. He begged for it. He didn't run from God. He ran to God. And he was honest with his God. He asked for a new heart. He didn't try to cultivate that heart on his own. He asked for forgiveness, and he asked for joy. And this psalm shows us that those who are close to God are filled with joy. In his repentance, he was praying for the joy to return. And it's a good reminder to us that pursuing righteousness in increasing measure brings us joy. Sometimes it is all too easy to forget the joy of our salvation. But that's what sustains us. It's being motivated by love and by gratitude. And it's telling that David's life is characterized by joy when he remembers his repentant self. When we're feeling burdened by the pursuit, the joy's all gone. There's no love in it. It's all works. It's no grace. It's just checklists. Do this and do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's harsh and it's loveless. And sin can also burden us and make us feel burdened in the pursuit. Not being open and not dealing with issues can make us feel weighed down. And then the joy of being with God dwindles. I've experienced this. I'm sure some of us have. But I admire David as he goes to God. He isn't self-reliant. He's God-reliant. I need to be God-reliant. And I'm grateful that God leaves us David's example for us to follow. But we also need to go to God's word to get truth. And so let's turn over to James chapter 1. We get truth from God's word to get us back on track and to keep going and to keep growing in him. So James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Are you reading God's word and then forgetting what you read or choosing not to obey it? Do you look more like Christ or like an improved version of yourself? Search yourselves, sisters. There is always something to grow in, something more for us to become. He promises that we will be blessed if we look intently into his word and just obey. I have a tendency to wrestle with this and to not want to obey out of fear that maybe what God promises is just not going to work out that way. But that's not true. That's simply not the case. God's word is trustworthy. And I need to believe him. We need to believe him. Are you going to take him at his word and just do what he says? I looked up intently because it helps me out. And intently means with aim, with purpose, applying strained or eager attention, being engrossed, having the mind and the will focused on a specific purpose. Some synonyms: attentively, closely, keenly, steadily, fixedly, searchingly, and watchfully. This is how we need to be reading our Bible, sisters. And as you do this, turn around and be a Nathan to the Davids around you. Recently, I was told that I was lazy, and I didn't take it well. I told the person that, you know, thank you, but I just don't agree. And they explained it to me a little bit more. And I was like, okay, I see your point, but I don't think I'm lazy. I'm tired all the time. How can a tired person be lazy? That's just what my thinking was. But I went back and I studied it out. I looked intently into God's word, and I found out that laziness is a heart issue, and I have a lazy heart. And that is why I needed to repent. And it was amazing. I called the person up, and I thanked them, and I told them that I saw it, and I haven't even finished studying it out, and I've repented already. And I feel the times of refreshing that God promises. It feels so good. And the burden of the pursuit lifting, it is amazing. And then I was able to help another sister see the laziness in her heart. I was able to be a Nathan for her. And so we're going to look at more of what the Bible says about being a Nathan for one another. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 3, the Bible says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Sisters, teach us. Teach us, please. Please. If you are older spiritually, then you're older according to this scripture. And you can teach us who are younger in the Lord. I am a young married woman. After 4 years, I still need to learn how to love my husband and how to submit to him. I'm about to be a mother in about 18 weeks, and I need help, okay? I want to be a mother who shows my son God, not just me. We who are younger in here, spiritually, we need to learn how to be self-controlled and pure. We need your help with that. We need help expressing ourselves in a way that glorifies God and that pleases him. You are invaluable to us. Be our Nathans. I know I need to learn how to be kind and to be busy at home. Tammy and Sarah have been helping me with that, but I still need more help, okay? And I'm not the only one. We all must hunger to want to learn more and to become. We need to hunger to be taught. And it's not enough to have Nathans come and find us. We need to go search them out. And then take heed to what they say. And not just say thanks. Not let it go in one ear and out the other, but to really take heed and listen. Sisters, growth in Christ is our goal. Unity and maturity in him is our finish line in heaven. We need to be honest with ourselves. You need to be honest with yourself about what Jesus is trying to show you regarding your spiritual state. Invite some Nathans into your life. Let them speak truth to you. Let them speak God's word to you. Pray like David did for God to change your heart and your character. Look intently, attentively, keenly into God's word and just do what he says. Believe him and hold firmly to his teaching. Be a Nathan for someone else. We all need you, so be a Nathan for us. And finally, find Davids to speak God's truth to. We each have something to grow in spiritually because we're all human. We must continue to grow because Christ loves us. And Christ's love compels us. Sisters, thank you so much for letting me share my heart with you. Amen.
Good job. As she said, I can't breathe. Now you can breathe. But thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I think it's inspiring, convicting, especially, and very courageous to stand up and say that you were abused. I think such a sin takes courage to be able to say that. And it inspires others if they've been so, experienced such traumatic instances in their life. It gives them courage to say, if she can, so can I. If she can work on it, wrestle with it, and if she can overcome, so can I. Because it can be very debilitating. And I pray that whatever sin that we've been involved in, that have been vested on us, whatever struggles of our past, that if it still lingers in you, and if it still owns you, I loved what you said, it doesn't own you. If it still owns you and dictates to you and defines you today, I urge you as your sister. There's help. There are Nathans in here who can help you. And it's okay. You will turn it off. I know. Don't look so embarrassed. But I know it won't ring next time. But if you do have that, there's so many Nathans who can help and have the courage to do so. And if you don't have that courage in your quiet moment, seek her out. Amen? But there are several nuggets that I want to just kind of highlight of what you've said. So let me get on that. I loved what you said, regardless. I think for me it was convicting because it makes you want to be determined to say, regardless, but I shall. And it builds that determined spirit. And I pray that sisters, because so many times when things are pointed out in us by Nathans to change, we get defensive, we justify, we don't want it. In fact, sometimes we have attitudes, we want to walk away, we blame and say, but you don't understand my situation. And the word is regardless. Because the mindset is and must always be, I would rather be righteous than right. Because us women, we love to be right. And God says, you know what, I would rather you be righteous than right. Regardless, I shall. No matter how painful it feels, I shall. No matter how foolish I feel right now to go and say I'm sorry, I shall. No matter how much I feel I am wounded and justified and that person is wrong, I shall. That's the determination that God wants us to have. And you know what it'll do is you'll be like Jesus. He'll sort it out. Even if you are right, he will sort it out. The issue with God is not so much who is right. The issue with God is your heart. Your heart, that it be right because you want to make it to heaven. That's the issue. And I think when we focus on that and we focus on heaven, then all these incendiary things and reactions, really, it gives you perspective that, you know what, I'm just going to go. I'm going to apologize. Amen. There's a lady I'm studying the Bible with. She had said some things in the office and da-da-da-da-da. And we got together. And I said, well, you know what? What would Jesus do? And she goes, I knew you were going to ask me that. I said, you know I would. If I didn't, I would do you a disfavor. And by the way, I do want to make it to heaven. And she goes, oh, I know. I must go and talk to him. I said, well, you know what? You do need to. Not because I've said so, but because that's what Jesus would do. Amen. And she goes, oh, I get it. I think I need to do it the first thing in the morning. Amen. before anything else comes up. And we prayed about it, and she called, and she says, I did. But then this was the funny thing. She goes, I figured, if I am just like Jesus, it will spare me. And I thought, okay, she did go. That other side, I'm not going to talk about it right now, but she did go. And she said, you know, my way is to avoid that is, I'm just going to make sure I'm going to be like Jesus, just so I can be spared. Well, I pray she'll be your sister, and one day you will be a Nathan to her. But regardless, you know, and I love what you said, the GPS is not faulty. It's not faulty. It's not, it will not take you to places where there's new subdivision and it's not been keyed in or whatever. But God says, you know what, all the subdivisions have already been built. All the mapping has been done. And the destination is heaven. And I think let's no matter where you are, let's get in there and stay in the GPS and follow it. And what you said, that we'll never arrive while here on earth. Yeah. While here on earth, we'll never arrive. You know, I like that. And the older women, to be Nathans, I think that's a challenge. I sat there thinking, that's a challenge. She's calling us too. And I love Dez. How many of us loves Dez? I was about to tell you a story. Shall I? Wait, I went to boarding schools. Some friends of mine, we dared each other. One of my dorm mates, her face was, we used to call her Moonie, because her face was beautiful, round face. And she had a pretty unique eyebrows. And so I dared her, and then I've shaved her eyebrows like waves. I know. Terrible. Terrible. I know. My child. I know. I don't think you know this, Ash. I'm sorry. And so I said, I dare you to be able to go to class, because she would walk around and do her eyebrows like that. And I thought, oh, if I just do zigzag, that'll be awesome. I was crazy. I wasn't thinking right. So she goes and she lives out her dare. And she comes back and said, okay, now this is my dare. The uniform, you know, boarding school, you have uniform. And she dared me to tear my sweater, my pullover, and really make my skirt pencil tight. And I thought, oh, why did I dare her? I did. I was called to the headmistress's office. And I said, no, you don't have to call my parents. I get it. But I don't think that's the dare that you're calling us to, no. But to have the courage to speak truth, that's the dare. And I think it's a good calling for us sisters, the older sisters, to turn to the younger sisters. And then what it does is you've got to ask yourself, do I have those convictions as Nathan? To see clearly, to be strong, to turn around to the younger sisters and pull them up. Amen? And who speaks to you? Who speaks to you? It speaks of discipling. I hope all of us have a discipling partners. Mentors, discipling partner, I urge you, sisters, if you don't have somebody who speaks truth to you, you need to get your discipling partner. You need to get your prayer partner. You need to get your Nathans, however way you call them. You need to have somebody in your life who speaks truth to you. I have many, not just one, many. Because, you know, the more you interact, the more you get exposed in different ways. I have Miss Anne on Sunday. I don't know if you remember. I was focused on so many things that I needed to do. Does Nietzsche have his water? And I was nervous already. I was telling several sisters, oh, he's in my house. Please pray for me. And we've had them over in my house many, many times. But this time I felt even more burden, more pressure. So I told several sisters, pray for me. that I don't cook anything that will mess him up. And then I become that woman. I know, and you know. Roxanne had called whichever day it was, and I was sitting down thinking, going through health list, whatever it is to eat, and I'm like, I've got to get this to the T, regardless that I was putting pressure on myself. And then Lisa had called saying, can I pray for you? Is there anything you... I said, yes, please pray that as he stays here, he can go back okay, that I don't mess him up. And then she wrote back and said, I prayed and you have a sous chef angel with you. You'll be fine. And Barbara goes, oh, Sarah. But you need people like that. And on Sunday, so I'm thinking through, does he have his water as I'm walking down the aisle? Does he have his napkin because of the hot flushes and everything? And then Daisy, her family had come, and they were looking for seats and everything. So Miss Anne looks at me, and she goes, smile. I said, oh, that's true. I have so many things in my mind. She goes, just smile. And you need people like that at different times to just tap your shoulder. You are missing out when you don't have that. And I'll tell you, this is what happens if you don't have people in your life who are calling you to the truth. You're going to read all these things in the Bible, and you're going to get cynical. You're going to get cynical because you're not seeing it manifested in your life. And you're going to read it and go, well, okay, if you say so. And you're just reading, and it just goes over. I'm being honest, sisters. This is our honest time. This is our time together. When your heart is not being worked to being like Jesus, it will be cynical. Because there is no heart that can stay like that. You're either going up or down. You cannot plateau. A responsive heart, a responsive mind, a responsive attitude. Okay. For you and I to be like God, we've got to be God-reliant. I'm trying really hard to read exactly as you said, to be God-reliant or not self-reliant, and then tired of the pursuit. I think we get tired of the pursuit when it becomes self-reliant, and it becomes works-oriented, and it becomes results, it becomes a checklist, it becomes this is what I've done, and so I am okay. The pursuit becomes agonizing. And God just looks at you and he's saying, that's not how I want you to know me. That's not who I am. So sisters, let's be God reliant and not reliant on the pursuit. Amen? Amen. Or an improved version of yourself. I thought, ooh, that's good. So one day when I'm preaching, I'm going to say it. Are you an improved version of yourself? But three things in addition to what Roxanne has said. Hebrews chapter 12, from 14 to 28. Hebrews 12, 14 to 28. The whole purpose, sisters, really, it's not just do's and do's and do's. It's got nothing to do with that. This is the whole purpose of it all. Hebrews 12, from 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's the whole purpose. Without holiness. This is probably one of the most convicting one phrase in the Bible. It says, without holiness, sisters, you and I will not see the Lord. It's got nothing to do with how that Nathan is talking to you. It's got nothing to do with, okay, yes, you're in sin. What are you going to do about it? The issue is, what are you going to do? Yes, terrible things happen. How are you going to allow them to affect you? The issue is, without holiness, you will not see the Lord. And that's what we've got to strive for. And then it goes farther. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. He could bring no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying to Moses that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, to those whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If he did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words, once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Sisters, this is not a joke. He says, without holiness, we will not see God. That Moses trembled with fear. And he says, our God is a consuming God. You know, Sunday we had a campus D group. And I had some errands to run before the D group. And I said, I've never thought about donuts as much as I did that Sunday. Just thinking about donuts the whole, with Nietzsche when he said, you know, don't focus on the whole, but the whole. I thought, okay, what's my hole in the donut? Okay, I don't want to make it, because the issue is making it to heaven. And I think when you're open, when you're honest, and you say, these are the holes in my donut, I've got to deal with them. Because the issue is, I want to be holy, and you've got a desire to be holy and desire to make it to heaven. Because he says, without holiness, you will not make it to heaven. It's a very sobering thought. And very sobering what you brought us to, just those different thoughts that you called us to. I think the other caution, the pursuit, the self-pursuit and the non-reliance on God can make us really view God in a terrible way and miss the point. And Isaiah 28 describes this. Shall we turn there? And so my first thought is let's focus on holiness. Secondly, have your repose. Have your repose. Secondly, have your repose. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, from verse 9. Who is it he's trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk, to those just taken from the breast? For it is do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule and rule, a little here, a little there. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to these people. To whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then, the word of the Lord to them will become, do and do, do and do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, so that they will go and fall backward, be injured and snared and captured. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule these people in Jerusalem. That's the scary thing. I think when you pursue and work on your relationship, being self-reliant, you're going to miss the mark of finding that peace, finding that joy, finding that rest, and you'll become cynical and hardened. Isaiah explains this. He says, eventually your relationship with God, it will be rule upon rule, do, do, and do, and you miss the mark. You miss the mark that, you know, what we're talking about is a relationship with God. It's just simply having a relationship with God. It's like, for example, I'll use you, Miss Anne, as an example, if I may. I get to know Miss Anne. I get to know the things that she loves, things that she likes. And the more I know her, the more she knows me. And if she needs anything, I don't think I'll sit down thinking, well, I don't know if I can do this. I've done this. I've done that with Miss Anne. To count the things I've done with Miss Anne. No, it doesn't happen that way. But because I know Miss Anne, because I know her heart, because I know her little funny ways of doing things and how she says things and how she goes, I got you. No, don't worry about that. Just call me. Okay, bye. Sometimes that's how Miss Anne talks on the phone. I call her up. I said, Miss Anne, I'm about to nag somebody. She goes, oh, I get you. Okay, don't worry. I'll call my son. That's it. My relationship with her is not, well, okay, have I done this? Have I done that? Have I done that? When she was sick, I said, Miss Anne, is there anything you need? And she was hesitant. She was like, I don't know if I can, but the doctor says, you know, pomegranate juice. Or so. I said, you know, I'll see you in a bit. It doesn't strain because you know the person. Yeah. We're studying the Bible with Mary. She makes me laugh. She imitates me. I said, do I say it that way? And she goes, yeah. I don't think it's a chore to do that. You know, and she highlights different things. I said, do I do that? And she goes, yeah. And then I started saying, well, you know what? You're very Southern. You go, lie. and you know, when you know somebody like that, it's not a chore. It's easy. It's easy to, and I think that's what God wants. He just wants you to know that he loves you. And then he wants you to love you back. He wants you to love him back. I'll tell you, probably the most, I want to say humiliating thing, but I think probably the appropriate word is humbling thing, is to read Revelations where God is begging you and I to love him. And I read that, it's very staggering because I think, who am I that God would say, just love me? I don't know if anybody has looked at you and said, Mimo, just love me. Allison, just love me. Rachel, just love me. Just love me. Has anybody just looked at you and just said, just love me? Or have you looked at somebody and go, just love me? Lock, stock, and barrel, warts and all, just love me. It's very humbling. And when you go to Revelations, God says, look, you've forgotten about me. You used to do this and that and that. And he's turning. He says, just love me. The creator of the universe, the person who formed you, he's saying, just love me and love to be like me. It's very, very humbling. And I tell you, when you read it with that tone, when you read it with that eye, then sisters, I think you'll just radically change. When you see things in you, it'll be like, it's no, as the campus students and teens go, it's no biggie. It's no biggie. I'll change. If you say so, it's no biggie. I'll change. Mary, I think I got it. Does that make sense, sisters? And I think finally, don't forget the rescue. Don't forget the rescue. I spoke on holiness. And then secondly, I spoke on repose. And then don't forget the rescue. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, I just forgot my reference. Okay, from verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, and in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. You know, the whole story is just about rescue. You and I have been rescued. Rescued from our past, rescued from our future, things that we could have done in the future if we hadn't known the Lord. Your whole story, the whole love story between you and God is the rescue. And I think if we forget that, we forget the darkness that we've been rescued from, then you dismiss holiness. Then you miss out the chance to repose and have that relationship with God. And then you will resist what Roxanne has called us to have Nathans in your life, have people in your life to call you to be what God wants you to be. Amen?